believe that God is up to something. Amen. Amen. I just believe that with everything that is within me today. A lot of times as a pastor, a preacher, we struggle in delivery. We struggle in wondering just exactly how a message is going to be given. We're concerned about how a message is going to be received. And we're concerned about how that folks are going to respond. And we're concerned about really being able to do everything that God wants us to do in a service. That's my struggle. I want to just share with you today how God has put it in my heart. If you think about what's going on in the spirit realm today, it's a very interesting thing. Very interesting. I believe with everything within me that we are living in exciting times. We all believe that God is up to something. There are those today that may be spiritual destitute. They may be feeling like they're spiritual dead today. They may feel as if that God is not speaking. But I assure you that God is speaking. I assure you that God is trying to do everything He can to get our attention. All the way throughout the book of Revelation, there is a repetitive term that is used. And in that term, and Brother Ball preached the book of Revelation a little bit last week, but in that term that Jesus uses, He uses words like this. To him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. I have had those in my days that when I have talked about the spiritual application, they want to say, well, you're getting spooky on me now and talk about that spirit. You're going Casper on me. No. He's alive today. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be known. And Jesus promised us in the Word of God that if He go away, that He would send another comforter. The word another is one likened to the same. As Jesus walked upon the sandy shores of Galilee, when the Holy Ghost came down, my friend, He was a paraclete. He's called the paraclete. The word paraclete in the Greek actually means one who was called alongside of another. I just want to tell you today, as a Spirit-filled child of God, you're not by yourself. You're not alone. That He's with you in the morning. He's with you in the noontime. He's with you when the sun goes down. Amen. He's good. He's with you in your good times. He's with you in your bad times. He's with you in your sad times. He's with you all the time. The Holy Spirit says, I will not leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. Something happened in the book of Joel that I believe that God is put in my heart for today to share with you. Before I do anything, I pray that you would stretch your hands towards me and that God would use me as an oracle of heaven this morning. I don't want to see Alan Green. I don't want to even be mentioned here today. I want to hide behind the cross today. And if anybody sees anything, I want them to see Jesus. So, Father, we come before You today in Your name. In the name of He that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think. Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. And Lord, as I've said, hide me behind the cross. Let us only see Jesus glorified and Jesus lifted up. For Jesus said in the book of John, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And God, I believe today that with everything within me, there is a drawing in this room. There is a drawing in the atmosphere. There's a drawing in the church. There's a drawing in the world, because I believe with everything within me that you are drawing in the end time harvest. I believe the sickle is in your hand. And I believe that today is the day of salvation. I believe today that if any man, woman, boy, and girl are to be saved, that God, you are drawing us unto thee even now. And Father, I pray, God, that you would touch us today and allow the Spirit of God to move upon us. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that anointing that breaks every yoke, that destroys every stronghold, that defeats every demon, that stops every mouth of the enemy that would come against the people of God today. Use us, God, for your glory, and I ask you this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Look at your neighbor and say these words with me. I will do it again. Look at them one more time and say, I will do it again. I thought this morning that I would be preaching a different message. I thought that I would be picking up where I was at a couple of weekends ago, and God has burnt in my heart something that I believe that God is wanting us to grab a hold of. I believe that we must grab a hold of what God is wanting to do. And I'm going to debunk something right now. I'm going to debunk and destroy a mindset. Are you ready? You've not received it all. You have not received everything that God wants for you. I believe that God, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're the oldest person in this room. And I don't care if you're the youngest student in this room. You young people need to adhere to the Word of God and listen today. Because I believe that God made a promise in the book of Joel. And I believe that we are on the precipice. I believe that we are on the verge. I believe that we are standing at the gateway. I believe that we are standing right now at the doorway of the end time outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I believe that with everything within me. God made a promise. God is a man that he cannot lie. The Bible says that God cannot lie, that all the promises of God are yea and amen. And what God said he will do, God is going to do. And I believe that God is getting ready to do it right now. I claim it over this church. I claim it over Davidson County. I believe that God is getting ready to draw in an end time harvest. I believe that with everything that's within me. But to debunk something today is for me to tell you that you're not too old to see a move of God. You've not seen everything that God wants to do for you, and you're not too old to see that God wants to do everything in you and through you. And I'm praying that God would do something in this church. In the book of Joel, chapter number 2, we know the book of Joel. We preach the book of Joel. It's where that God promised Israel that he would pour out his Spirit. And when we read the book of Joel, chapter number 2, verse 28, and God says these words, and God made this promise, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Spirit. 2 weeks ago, I knocked over a whole glass of tea on my wife, or water rather, on my wife's lap. It was an accident. I hit it with my hand sitting at the table at the restaurant. It was an accident. Coffee. Cold water. My point is this. I don't care if it's cold, lukewarm. I don't care. My point is this. I did that by accident. Listen close. God says what he's getting ready to do is going to be poured out with purpose. Poured out with an intent and poured out with a purpose. Now I'm going to go ahead and mention this. I'm going to shake this bush while I can. There's young people. You've seen it. I've seen it. You've seen it at Asbury. I don't know anything about that place. I know very, very little about Lee University. Shame on me. But young people have had an ignition. They've had a spark. And if you'll go back in your memoirs for 2 or 3 weeks now, or a month now, what have I been preaching? What have I been talking about? What have I told you? That God is wanting to do revival. God is wanting to pour out His Spirit upon us. And it's starting to happen in places all around. It's starting to surface in places all around. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's not by accident. I believe that this is part of the fulfillment of the book of Joel. I believe it's part of the fulfillment of God's plan right now for the United States of America and around the world. Now stay with me through this whole message today. When we look at the scripture, God, He says, I will pour. What is happening right now is not an accident. It's not an accident that somebody decided that they were going to pray. It's not an accident that somebody decided they were going to get together. It is done with an intention of seeking God and pouring their heart out to God. God says in the Word of God in the book of James, if you'll draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. Somebody says, I want an outpouring of God on my life. The secret is simply this. If you abandon yourself to the love of God, if you give yourself totally to God, and you seek God with fervency, and you seek God with everything within you, and you go after God, I promise you that God will run you down. I promise you that God will chase you down, because His Word promises us, if you will draw nigh to me, then I will draw nigh to you. So we settle that issue already. He said that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Pinch your neighbor and say, are you flesh? Don't really do that. Don't really do that. And He says in the Word, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now, if I had time to talk about that for a while, I would, but I've got to keep moving this morning. But everybody in this room is flesh. Amen. You're breathing, you're living, you're a living organism this morning. So you are a candidate for the outpouring of God. I believe that with everything within me. God has not abandoned you, and God is not looking for preachers and teachers and missionaries and this and that and the other. God is looking for somebody that says, as Isaiah did, here am I, Lord, send me. Make myself available. I'm a candidate. I'm a candidate for your glory. He says this, and this is very important. And I know we've read this before, but this is a promise of God. And God says this in the Word, on your sons. We all got sons and daughters that are astray. Hello, somebody. Their sons and daughters sitting in this room today. And God said, I'm going to pour my Spirit out upon your sons and your daughters. You say, well, what's happening in this university, or what's happening at that university, or what's happening on this place or that place? I believe it's the end time, part of the end time revival, that God is pouring out His Spirit. I believe that young people in this room, with some things that we have on the agenda now, and we have some things planned moving forward in the church, that I believe with everything within me that God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit on sons and daughters. I believe that your sons and my daughter and my son and my grandchildren, I was there praying for them this morning, that God would pour out of His Spirit. Here's the thing. It's a promise. God promised that He was going to do this. And we see this today as we look at this. We see this in the Scripture. He says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They shall speak forth. Prophecy means to speak forth. Well, let me settle something. Prophecy is not for me to pray over you and say, yea, thus saith God. God has said unto thee. Prophecy is someone that confirms what God has already said to you. Amen. Amen. It's a confirmation of what God is already speaking to your heart. But yet we see here in the Word of God, as we look and He says that as you look at this, your sons and your daughters, they shall speak forth. They shall prophesy. Your old men. Now somebody said, well, how old is old and how young is young? I don't have the answer to that. But he does say that I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your youngins and the old men, the young men. He says this, your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. He moves on in verse 29 before we get started into another area. He says, and also upon my servants and upon my handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit, my Jesus. I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. The New Testament uses the word saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I thought about several things, and I began to think about all of this. When I began to think about a true call revival, what is it going to take for you and I to really see a true move of God and a true revival in the day and the hour that we're living in? The first thing I began to think about was a true repentance. Everywhere in the Bible, even in the New Testament, which I will not have time to get to today, but everywhere you look at, that if there was ever an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was always a call to repentance. When you begin to look at the book of Joel and you see this in chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says this. Excuse me, let me check that real quick. Yes, in the book of Joel chapter 1, he says this in verse number 14. I'm sorry. He says, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the house of the land of the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Again, he tells them to sound the alarm. He tells them again in chapter number 1, in verse chapter 2 and verse 12. He says this in the word, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Look in verse number 13. And rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, simply this. If Thomasville Church of God, if we really want to see God pour out His Spirit, you've got to come clean with God. You've heard me say it 100 times. Coming clean with God is not getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar and saying, I'm sorry. But oh no, my friend, it is truly in your heart, the inner person of who you are, that you are truly grieved, you're truly sorry for the things that you have done that has grieved the heart of God. And as a result of that, because you've grieved the heart of God, that your heart is grieved also. My friend, if there's anything the church needs to do today, the Bible says in Acts 3 and 19, repent ye therefore, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I think it's time to do a soul search. I think it's time to look inward. I think it's time for you and I to get our eyes off of our neighbor. It's time for us to not try to judge our neighbor and see and worry about our neighbor, and really look in the inside of us and see if there's anything that has separated between us and God. So we see this in the book of Joel, that there was a call to repentance. Before we can see an outpouring of the Spirit of God, there is a call to repentance. Repentance, my friend, is more than just getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Repentance is more than just changing of a direction, even though it is that. That's what it means. It's a changing of a direction. It's an about face. It's turning away from. It's getting away from. And if I had time, I'd shake that bush for about 30 minutes. I don't have time to do that. But I will say this, as Brother Ball preached the other day, that it is time for the church to get back to holiness and righteousness. And if there's anything that God is looking for today, it is a people that is living right before Him, that God can pour His Spirit out upon. God will not pour His Spirit into an unclean vessel. I don't know if I'm on autopilot or not, but I guess I am. I was needing some monitor where I won't scream my lungs out today. But we see this. We see this again. God promised not only that repentance was necessary unto salvation. Secondly, I look at this and I look at the word restoration. I look at the word restoration is because we see this. Because God says in the word of the Lord that God will restore. I've never really restored too many things, but I think about our lives and I think about Adam and Eve and the deterioration and the breakdown and everything that happened in the garden. But because of Jesus, Jesus came to mend. He came to mend the brokenhearted. He came to restore that was at one time His. If you're away from God, God wants to restore you today. He wants to, as the word restore, to put back into its original state, to put back into its original condition. So before God can pour out His Spirit today, I believe that God is wanting to restore us. Now don't get mad at the preacher, it's too early in the message. But you know and I believe with everything within me that the church has lost her fire. She's lost her love for Jesus. We've lost our concern for Jesus. And my friend, before we ever see God do it again, I believe that we've got to redevote our heart to Him. I believe that we've got to ask Him to restore us. I believe that God wants to do a heart work on the inside of us. And again, when Joel dealt with this, we see this in the Scripture, that there was a restoration process. There was a restoration process, and he says this in chapter 2 and 25. He says, "And I will restore unto you the years. I will restore unto you the years." Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you've wasted days and you've wasted years. But God says, I just come by long enough this morning to remind you that your better days may not be behind you, but your better days are in front of you. And it's when you and God get together and you begin to let God do a mending of your heart, a mending of your life. You say, well, I've really messed my life up. I walked away from God years ago. Hey, my own mama, she might be listening. My own mama walked away from God in 1967. 1967, Brother Cain. She had things in her life. She had trauma in her life. She had a lot of emotional issues in her life, losing a child and a lot of things that she went through. And for the next 30 years, Brother Beckner, she was away from God. She drifted. But September the 13th, 2001, 2 days after the bombing at New York, making biscuits in the kitchen, God arrested her and spoke to her and said, I'm going to use you through this. And she said, how are you going to use me? She asked me that question. I told her. But she left the kitchen and she went to her bedroom. She got down beside of a chair in her bedroom, gave her heart back to God. It don't make no difference to me how far you've went. It don't matter to me how far you've gone. It don't matter to me how long it's going to take you to get back. The issue is come back to Him today. Let God pour out His Spirit upon you one more time. And I believe that with everything within me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I believe that God's going to put a hook in the backslider's jaw. Why do you say that, preacher? Because God said in His Word that He is not willing that any should perish, but it all would come to repentance. My friend, it is not God's will for you to be outside of the fold this evening. Amen. It is not God's will. He wants to restore you. He wants to give you your joy back. He wants to give you your song back. He wants to give you your dance back. Hallelujah. God wants to do a new work. Hallelujah. Not only a call to repentance, a call to restoration, a call to revival. I believe in everything within me that we've seen great days in the church. We talk about great revivals of yesteryear, and I'm not here to say those things didn't happen because they did happen. Hallelujah. I've heard Thomasville's story. I've heard about the great revivals. I've heard about it. But here's my heart today. I want to be it. I want to be in revival. You say, we just ended revival. Who ended revival? I just had a speaker for five services. I didn't end no revival. Revival starts in you. Revival starts in me. Revival is new life. Revival's new birth. Revival's God coming by. He took those disciples out there, Barbara, and I'm not going to breathe on you, but he breathed on them. And he told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And I believe that God is, and this is just me, you do it the way you want to do it. This is what I feel like God. I believe that God's wanting to come by and God's wanting to breathe on us. Why do you say that? Because it's been my prayer. Because it's the breath of heaven. I know there's a song that one of those singers sings, Tammy, that's the breath of heaven. And I'm just saying it's going to take, Betty, the breath of heaven to turn this whole world around. It's going to take the breath of heaven upon us one more time. I'm sorry, I'm up here. I sort of forgot where I was at. Oh, Jesus. It's going to take the breath of heaven to turn our churches around. And don't get mad at the preacher. Like I said, it's too early in the service. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm sick up to here. Coming in, slumping over, slouching over. Dead beat. Robert, it's more than that. God is alive, Dallas. Woo! God is alive today. And I believe that there's something alive about God. And somebody said, well, God's not dead. There's a movie about that. I know God ain't dead. They didn't have to make a movie to prove that to me. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Y'all ready? Can these bones live? You're dead. I'm dead. We're called on God. And God says in Ezekiel, can these bones live? He's talking about Israel. Can these bones live? What did he do, Horace? Who said that? He breathed on them. And when he breathed on them, they became a living. They stood up on their feet and they became a mighty army. Sorry, I'm screaming. My God, it's in my heart today. Stand up on your feet right now. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Throw your hands in the air and say, God, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breathe on me, breathe on me, breathe on me. That was impromptu. I wasn't planning on that, but I tell you what, if you mean that with all of your heart, God's going to start something in this room. Breathe, 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 breathe on us, God. Hey! Jesus, would you do this right now, a hungry church? A hungry heart, a hungry boy, a hungry girl. God, would you manifest in their life today? Would you do something in their heart today? God, would you do something in their life today? God, would you take an old, cold heart today? God, oh God, what seems to be dead? My God, in the name of Jesus, God, just like the day of Pentecost, would you breathe upon us, God? Breathe upon us, God. Breathe upon us, God. You can be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Revival, I believe, is a part of what God is doing. He says this in the Word of God. You say, well, it's good to read that preacher out of the book of Joel. It's good to read that preacher. And I've read that many times. I want to tell you something, friend. It didn't stop there. It didn't stop with the book of Joel, however you want to pronounce it. It didn't stop. We see it happening on the day of Pentecost. Somebody says, well, they ain't much in that Pentecost, and I don't believe in speaking in tongues, and I don't believe in speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I don't believe it as a gift. I don't believe it. Hey, friend, you can't take and rip that page out of your Bible. It's in the book. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. When you look into the book of Acts, this is not only God's promise to the repentant, God's promise to restore, but God promises revival. Oh yeah, Sherry knows this. She knows this as well as I do. And I hide me behind the cross. I don't want to talk about me. They've been highs and they've been lows. They've been troubles. They've been storms. There've been times I almost had a nervous breakdown. There've been times that I've wanted to throw my hands up and scream at God because I didn't understand everything that was going on around me. And Brother Hardin, the only thing that it's ever been is an enemy to try to stop a preacher from fulfilling the destiny over his life. Oh my God, today storms are going to come. Valleys is going to come. But I believe today that if we hold on to Him, I believe that God's going to do something. And that's what's kept me going for 30 years of believing God for revival. Believing God for revival. I've not seen everything. I've not done everything. There's still more, Brother Hunt. And I don't mean this disrespectful. You're old enough to be my dad. I understand that. But there's promises that God made you as a young man you've yet to see. But old men, I ain't calling you old man. I would never do that. But old men. And Alex, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I don't want to embarrass you. But a young man. You know what's going on? Can I do what I feel in my heart? Come here. Come here, Brother Hunt. Come here, Brother Hunt. Hallelujah. An old man and a young man and a man. And you know what God said? I'm going to pour out my spirit on the old men. I'm going to pour out my spirit on the young men. They're going to rejoice together. Can I tell you, I'm sick up to my gills if I got gills about old and new and young and old and all the battles that rages. Here it is. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. God, we're ready to see God, your spirit move on the young and the old, that we can rejoice together in what God is wanting to do through the church. Hallelujah. God wants to send revival. God wants to send it to you. God wants to send it to me. How do you know that, preacher? So glad you asked. Because it's a promise. It's a promise that God made. We see it in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. We know it very, very well. Verse number 14, we pick up there. And this is the fulfillment of Joel. Y'all ready for this? It's going to get absolutely Pentecostal crazy in here today. You ready? I'm not waiting because I ain't got nothing to say. So every now and then I have to stand in the sun, the S-O-N, and I have to let Him just adjust me a little bit. And again, I'm not at a loss of words. I'm just taking the moment that I need. As I feel Him in this place. When you look in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and I know you know this, but I want you to hear what it says. Are you ready? I want you to hear what it says. Young people, pay attention, because it's for you too. So long, let me talk to our young people. For so long, they sat back. And they've looked at the older generation and thought, well, church is just for them. I'm not gonna buy into that today. Young people, you don't have to go to the gym to get a touch from heaven. We're not trying to sideline you and push you out there in that gym to make you feel like you are not a part of what goes on in here. Come on, somebody. You can get just as much in here as an adult can get in here. You don't have to wait to any special time. I'm praying that God, you begin to pour out your spirit upon our young people. Give them a hunger and give them a thirst, God, that they want to know you. I was thinking about something as I was praying this morning. Any young people in the room, 13-year-old, any at all, 13? Any young people? Alex, how about that? Amazing. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. My mom stayed 23 days in traction in St. Joseph Hospital in Asheville when I was 13 years old. 13-year-old. I thought about it when I was praying this morning. 13-year-old. I stayed with my granny 23 days. My granny had a PhD in holiness. She really did. She had a Pentecostal hairdo. My granny made me go to church. I went in that church at the first of that event, sitting on that row, on the back row with my little sister, and I was a cusser. God took that away from me, brother. But I sat on the back row and said, I don't even know why I have to come down here and put up with this. Blankety blank blank blank. But through the process of being exposed to the preaching of God's word and the holiness of God and Brother Buford Letford preaching the word of God. Well, he wasn't preaching then. I take that back. That was later. Whoever was preaching, I have no idea. Tammy, at 13, God touched me. Touched me. I carried my little Bible I had in my book bag to school. Showed it to my math teacher, Mr. Leverett. But I don't know, Barbara, if I was saved because I didn't know what saved meant. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know what it meant. But I know from 13 to 18, I would do something and God would woo me. He would touch my heart. And I didn't even know it was God. The day that I almost became an alcoholic, I was sitting in a room in a circle with a bunch of barefooted heathens sitting on the outside of an old dirty mobile home, getting ready to take a drink of tequila, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I didn't know Brother Beckner that it was the Holy Ghost, but he said these words to me, is this what you want to be the rest of your life? I didn't touch it to my lips. I've never taken a drink of liquor in my life. I was talking to my buddy Charlie a few days ago. I said, I won't do it. I'll die before I do it. And I mean that. Because me and God, I made a vow that day to God. 13-year-old, wooed me, Brother West, all the way till I was 18-year-old. And you say, what has that got to do with this service today? Because God can touch a 13-year-old just like he can touch a 38-year-old or a 48-year-old or a 58-year-old. And God can show us the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And you know what? I'm tired of the enemy telling our young people a lie and telling them, your day will come. Just hold on when the preacher gets done and big people get done and all these other people, your day will come. No, can I tell you today is your day. Today is your day. I got to hurry. I don't even know what time it is. I wish they'd cover that red clock up there for me for about 15 minutes. I didn't look up either, so don't fault me for that. God said in the New Testament, the book of Acts, verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. 15 says, for these are not drunk as you suppose them, but it's not the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock a.m. in the morning. Look at this. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. There it is, the fulfillment in the book of Acts of what Joel said years and years and years before. Now look at this in verse 17. He said, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God. Last day, saith God. Last days, saith God. Interesting. Last days, saith God. Are we in the last days, Pastor? Do you believe that we're in the last days? Now hang with me for just a few minutes. Because I know I got to hurry. I realize that. No, I don't. I may have to hurry for you. But God burnt this in my heart. I'm not going to tip God today. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. But somebody in this room needs to hear this. I'm going to tell you something. This church needs to hear this. He says in the word of God, it'll come to pass the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons, your daughters. Look at this. Old men, young men, verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Could it possibly be? Now, the next part of this message is going to be a little bit different than the first part. Could it be by chance that what we're seeing God began to do in pouring out of His Spirit is leading up to end time prophecy about the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then Peter says, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the blood into moon, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm gonna take you on a little fast journey, okay? So here we are. We're in this point that we're seeing God pour out His Spirit. And we're seeing God do that in various places right now in ways that are what we would use the terminology abnormal ways. Because we've not seen it. We've not seen it on this fashion. We've not seen it on this scale. But yet we look at what Peter said, this is the fulfillment of the outpouring. And then he said later in this, he said, but I'm going to show you more than that. Before that great and notable day of the Lord. Look at this in Matthew 24. This is a call to repentance, a promise of restoration, a promise of revival. What about the promise of His return? What about the promise of His return? This is what Jesus said in Matthew 24. And again, I'm not going to take the time to preach all this and talk about every bit of this, but this is what He says in verse number 3. He said, and He sat upon the Mount of Olives. Disciples came privately saying, tell us of these things. Tell us when shall these things be. And what shall be the sign of the coming, of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Number one, deception is going to be running wild. Number two, if we find this, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Be careful of who you follow, and be careful not to go astray. Verse number 6, watch this. He says this, and he says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. You think about wars and rumors of war. For 1 year now, they've been this war between Russia and Ukraine. Before that, it was Iraq, it was Syria, it was Afghanistan, it was all of these places. We've heard wars and rumors of wars for years. So we know that Jesus in the Word said that these will be signs to those that are looking and watching that His coming is nigh at the door. He's getting ready to come, people. We look at this and He says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He says, and see that these things not trouble, that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the midst of trouble. Outpouring of the Spirit of God in the midst of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and it shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Diverse places, earthquakes, many, several places. Do you know, I looked this up and they've been 51, listen to this, they've been 51 earthquakes around the world in the last 2 days. 51. From February the 18th, February the 19th. Look it up. 51 earthquakes in the last 2 days around the world. Syria and Turkey, the big one that happened on February the 6th. The report is now that there are more than 36,000 people killed, and that number is escalating. And I did read another report that said that there have been 44,000 people killed because of earthquakes. That earthquake. A 7.8, one that was on a 100-year scale. Jesus is getting ready to come. I hate it for the loss. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If they've ever been a day and an hour, you need to get ready. You need to get ready. You need to get ready. It's today. It's today. It's today. Now let me move fast right through this because there's a promise of his return. When you begin to look at this again in the scripture, he says, and these things are the beginning of sorrow. I'm not going to get into pre, mid, post. I'm going to get into pan right now. I know it's going to pan out in the end. God's got it in control. And then he says several many things all the way down through there. Verse 13, he says these same words. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And then he says in the gospel that the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. And then shall the end come. Here's the thing. We know it's going to happen. Are you going to go out of here in a revival? Or are you going to go out of here with the fear of God, of knowing whether you're going to be able to spend eternity with him in heaven? Or are you going to miss heaven and go where? I'll let you figure that out. There ain't but two places. Hey, let me share this with you. My prayer tonight is simply this, or this morning is simply this. My prayer is found in 1 Thessalonians that you be rapture ready. You say, well, I don't know nothing about no rapture. I don't know anything about no rapture. Rapture's rapio. It's a Latin word. It means a calling away, a snatching away. We believe the rapture of the church is even nigh at the door. God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to show earthquakes. I'm going to show famine. I'm going to show all these things before that great and notable day of the Lord. And then he says in Thessalonians, you know this as well as me, chapter 4, verse 13. He says into the word, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, uninformed, not knowledgeable of. The word ignorant don't mean stupid. It means uninformed, not knowledgeable of. Concerning them which are asleep, and that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have a hope, friend. If you've got a loved one in glory today, you'll see them again. As I said a few weeks ago, I think Lori's mom and my dad's already gave each other a high five and said, hallelujah, we made it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Look at this, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I like this part, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Are you rapture ready? I think you got to be revival ready to be rapture ready. I think to be rapture ready, you got to be restored. I think to be rapture ready, you got to repent. And he says that the Lord himself, not another. Brother Ball mentioned this. I can't help that I have to mention it again. In the book of Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go. You've heard the old boy say, I'm not looking for an airplane ride. I'm looking for a plane air ride. He's coming. He's coming again, folks. The more I read this week and Brother Beckner listened to different things happening in different places, the more I anticipated, Jesus, you're getting ready to come. You're pouring out your spirit. We're seeing these things, these events happening all around the world. And he says here in the word, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, the next verse. He says in 17. And he says, is there not a 17? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Caught up. Caught up. Together with them in the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first and we're going to catch them. We're going to be grabbing the heel of somebody. And then you see this in the word, meet them in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 18, the Bible says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I got one more spot and then I'm done with this part. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you look in verse number 15, I'm not going to take the time to read all that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. Look at this. I think this is it. No. That's too far up. I got to turn to it, Kathy. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15. Watch this. I got it written in front of me, but I got to make sure that I've got to get to the right place. Look at this, way over. Verse 51, that's my dyslexia kicking in. Writing 15 instead of 51. Watch this, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery. A mystery that's not yet been revealed or uncovered. The book of Revelation means unveiling and uncovering. We shall not all sleep. Some will be alive. Some will be sitting in a church. When that trumpet sounds, woo!
Thank you, Lord.
But we all shall all be changed. Look at this, 52. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. God said, I'll do it again. That was the title of today. I will do it again. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to have a church. I'm getting ready to raise my church up. I'm getting ready to do a work in your midst. Verse 53 says this. He says in the word, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Next verse. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. They came up with a song years ago, ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Gold City had another one years ago, I believe it was, that said, in my robe of white. Hallelujah. In my robe of white. In my robe. We're gonna sail away, friend. I don't want to leave this world in an ember of where the Spirit of God used to be. I want to go out in the flames of glory. Come on, somebody. And God says, I believe this with everything within me. There's some more verses down through there, but I believe this with everything within me. That God is wanting to pour out. God's wanting to pour out. I got to tell you my heart, my vision, what I believe God spoke to me in prayer this week. Can I tell you, I believe that God's going to do it here at Thomasville. You say, really, preacher, you believe that? Oh, yes, I do. Guess what I'm getting done this week? Brother Jonathan, I'm getting two banners. I'm putting a banner on that corner and that corner. Might end up getting three. I don't know. You know what it's going to say? It's going to have a big word across the front of it. You know what it's going to say? Revive. Davidson County, North Carolina. When I lived in Haywood County, there were signs all over Haywood County. You know what those signs said? It said, Jesus is Lord of Haywood County. I don't know how many people come across this corner out here, but I believe, said the Lord, that if there's anything dead in them, my God, I believe if anything's dead in them, I'm not trying to get no traffic accidents going, but I believe when they're gonna go by that sign, and Brother Russell, they see revive, I think they're going to have a knee jerk, and the Holy Ghost is going to get a hold of them. Because they're going to come to a realization, I don't have to die in the condition that I'm in. Revive. Davidson County, North Carolina. It's going to have the scripture out of the book of Acts written on it. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Here's how I want to close. I want to close the way God told me to do this 2 weeks ago. Some of y'all know I've had a hard time trying to understand how to do an altar call. Tell people to come and pray and they kindly look at you, because people are shy, people don't want to be seen, and they're a little bit, I don't want to go up there, somebody might think something about me. Here's how God told me to do it. I prayed about it, and God said, you go with them, you stand with them. And this is what I'm saying here today. If you're lost, if you're backslidden, if you're not where you need to be with God, you don't have to come up here by yourself. I'm already here. And I'm going to stand with you. As you come and stand with me, we're going to stand together for Him. Stand on your feet. If that's you today, I want you to move this direction. I wouldn't embarrass a person in this room. First call is for this. If you've never been saved, you don't have to be ashamed. We're not here to shame nobody. We're not here to look down our nose on nobody. We're not here to to say anything about anybody. I'm here to help you. I'm already here. If you'll come, I'll stand with you. You're not standing by yourself. The second part, if you're backslid, you've known God at some point in your life, but the cares of life somehow have weighed you down. But you can come today and you can be restored. You don't have to stand by yourself. I'm already here. I'm standing with you. And then the third thing is this. I know everybody can't get around this altar, and it's 12:17. If you have a roast on, I hope you got the timer set. But here's the next thing. And I know everybody can't get real close. I know that. But I have to do what I feel like in my heart I have to do. If you want a fresh touch of God, you want renewal, you want revival, you want to present yourself unto God as a living sacrifice, and you want to be a part of this end time revival, we're making ourselves available to God. What we're saying, God, you can depend on Thomasville Church of God. We're here, God. We want to see it. I mean, I'll scoot over. I'll give somebody else my seat. Come on, somebody. You know what I pray? I pray that we have to put people in the choir because of a hunger for revival. Because you're hungry for an outpouring. You're standing with me right now, by the way. You're standing with me. I'm not by myself. You're not by yourself. We're together. All over this room. Father, Lord, we present ourselves today a living sacrifice. Lord, you didn't drag us. You didn't pull us. God, we voluntarily bring ourselves, commit ourselves to you. All over this room, God. We're saying, here we are, God, send revival. Here we are, God, pour revival out. My God, pour revival out, God. Lord, you can start in me. God, you can start in me. God, we stand in agreement with my pastor that God, that God, revival is fresh and revival is in the air. And God, I present myself to you just like Isaiah did. And I say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. If two or three agree together as touching any one thing, God said, I will do it. So God, would you do it? God, would you send revival? God, would you start it here today? Young people, you can be saved. You may be like me at 13. You may not know what it's all about. You may have a hard time understanding what it is, but God said, if you'll trust me, I will show you the path of righteousness for my name's sake. I will lead you. I will direct you. So we present ourselves to you today, Father. We present ourselves to you today, Father. And God, we ask you to pour out of your Spirit. We ask you, God, as we've petitioned heaven, God, to repent. God, to come before you in true repentance. And God, we ask you, God, to restore. We ask you, God, to send revival. We ask you, God, that we be rapture ready, God. God, if there's hearts in this room that's not where they need to be, God, would you speak to our hearts today? Would you speak to every life? Would you speak to every heart? God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, do it in this room tonight. Do it in this room this morning, God. God, would you touch every mother in this room? Would you touch every dad? Would you touch every student? Would you touch every child? And God, that you would give us a hunger for you, not for emotion, not for anything faddish, but God, for you. God, we abandon ourselves today to give ourselves only to you, Lord. We're not giving ourselves to a denomination. We're not giving ourselves to a church. We're not giving ourselves to a preacher. We're not giving ourselves to organization. We're giving ourselves only to Jesus. If that's you, just throw your hand up in the air and begin to call out upon his name. Up here, back there, wherever you're at. Say, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. 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 Come on, say it with me. Here am I. Here am I. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, every woman, every boy, every girl, every person around this altar, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. God, you can use Thomasville Church of God to see revival come to Davidson County, North Carolina. God, we agree together on that. Lord, I'm not saying anything about the other counties, but God, this is our Jerusalem. This is where you planted us. This is where we're at. God, just like waves, ripples up on the water, as a rock is thrown into a lake or a pond. God, from this service today, God, may we go home and tell our family. May we go home and tell somebody. May God, it be a ripple effect. May we tell somebody of what God is doing. Amen. And amen. Around this altar and standing, here's the only thing I can say to you today. Get ready. Make yourself ready. Make yourself ready. And agree with me. Walk with me into revival. Revival's a costly thing. It's going to take you time. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of hard work. But you know what, my friend Charlie Wood right here, my buddy, he's a bean grower. I seen him back in the summer working that bean patch. I seen him working hard, sweat, bandana around his neck. He did not get the benefit of his bean harvest unless he was willing to put the work in. We will not see the benefit of revival unless we're willing to put the work in. Faith without works is dead. God, start a fire in me today that'll spread to this community and around. Again, like I said on Facebook last night, I'm not trying to mock nobody. I'm not trying to mimic nobody. My friend, this has been going on here for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's been building. You know what? I just believe that God is wanting to do something so much more. I'm going to meet you this evening at 5. Those of you that came to this front, you got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and pray with us. Come and pray with us and see what God wants to do. Brother Russell, come here. I don't know how much longer Russell's going to be officially with us. They're working on their building and trying to get their building put back together after a collapse. But I want you to pray a dismissal prayer for us today, Russell.
Almighty Heavenly Father God, we thank and grateful, Lord, for thy love, thy mercy, and thy grace, Lord. Lord, we thank and grateful, Lord, for thy divine spirit, Lord. Lord, we thank and grateful, Lord, for thy love upon thy people, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you may reach down, Lord, here to the church of God, Lord, and move in a divine way, Lord. Open up the doors and windows of heaven, Lord. Walk in our midst, Lord. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Let us be a servant, Lord, thou would be pleasing with, Lord. Go with us no matter where we go, Lord. Lead us and guide us and direct our paths, Lord, each and every day, Lord. Lord, bring us back into thy house each and every time, Lord, to be able to praise thy mighty name, for thou the one that's worthy this day, Lord, and not we ourselves. Lord, lead us and guide us now and go with us, Lord. We'll praise you, Lord. We'll thank you for everything you're going to do, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Shake hands. Come out friendly. I'll see y'all this afternoon.